I'm Van.
I'm Sori.
That's Sparky.
And Salty.
Somebody's asking about the big homie Chip.
Oh, Chip is chilling.
People are like, did Chip die?
No. We still have Chip.
Chip is right.
Chip got lost in the room when we were getting ready for Pink Floyd, but.
Shout out to the big homie Germ.
Then he found him.
It's July, babe. It's July 6th, I think it is.
Yeah.
Shout out. We've got like 50 new patrons or something like that.
What? 50?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Yeah, 15. And we also...
Oh, 15. I thought you said 50. I'm like,
I just got a notification from the big homie, Edward Sipes.
Oh.
He just ordered a shirt.
A t-shirt.
So a shirt, one of these, is coming to you, my man.
Sure.
Shout out to all the patrons. Shout out to all the shirt buyers.
Don't forget, if you want it signed, put it in the notes.
We're a little bit tired. We put in a lot of work this week. A lot of walking. A lot of walking.
Tons.
So we had an amazing interview with Otep Shemaya.
You guys.
Oh my gosh.
For the tree.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yep.
She was unbelievable.
You know what I like about her? She's mad real with, or it seems to me that she's very real with, if she feels something,
she says it,
she's going to do it. Regardless of the fallout because of it, she's going to stay true to herself.
Yep.
Shout out to her.
That's our mentality.
Would to God everyone was like that.
We're like that, though.
Yeah,
we are. We'll do and say shit that we believe in.
Yep.
And it's not popular. Cost you some subs.
Yep.
Might cost you some patrons.
Yep.
Both of those things have happened.
Yes.
We make people mad, but we don't make people mad to make people mad. We make people mad because we say our convictions and we don't pander to any audience.
We're staying true to ourselves.
Staying true to ourselves.
And to our God.
And to our God. That's right. But anyway, really, really excited.
Yep.
All you patrons who, ask questions, we were actually able to answer the questions, and she gave the most in-depth audience response, like, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We're going to have to release that in, like, two shows, because, like, she literally spent that much time with
us. She did, yeah.
She was freaking generous. All these people are so generous with their time, it's ridiculous.
Most of them. No, they're good, though.
It's good, you just got us crunched off other lists.
Neal Vascaris, guys.
Neal Vascaris. This is song
second
number two. Speaking
yep.
of interviews, these are the guys that started it off for
us. Yeah. They gave us our first hearing, our first conversation.
Yeah.
Intravenous is the name of this one.
Intravenous, okay.
That's very interesting song, though.
All right, let's do it. I'm actually very excited to hear this because...
Yeah. We need more to be added to the playlist.
We need some more Neal.
Yep. Because we don't listen to this stuff without you guys.
It's true.
We do all of our first time listens with you guys.
We've been listening to Plague Flies a couple
of years. Yeah, over and over. It just doesn't get old. All right, ready? My neck's gonna hurt tomorrow. Okay, go.
Full screen. Favorite band.
All time.
Favorite band. No, Korn. Right now, these guys are my favorite band. God almighty.
I know, they're incredible.
Golly.
You know, my favorite parts is the combination of the clean and death. Mm-hmm. It's just...
Zen is
Yeah. He's a monster at his vocals.
Almighty. Tim is a monster.
And Tim is a... Yeah.
That when they were combining the guitars and the... Ooh. These guys are... I cannot wait to see them live.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Very excited now.
Yep.
See them live.
Yes,
what
y'all.
What the hell, man? The musicianship was so good.
Yeah. I was so angry at the beginning because this friggin' splitter isn't working good, so I couldn't get, like, I was progressively getting more angry the more I couldn't, because I have to, like, push on it so then it puts all the music through on my side.
I don't.
I know. I took the bad one on purpose because I could reach it. So I wanted you to have good.
That's all right.
Anyway, so I was getting angry because I'm like, friggin', I'm missing this. Then all of a sudden I got it. My finger was getting tired, but I like stuck with it. That music video too, man. That girl was getting pushed under the water.
The milk.
It was milk?
I mean, it was like milky water. I mean, it was like milk. Milk.
I thought it was paint.
Really?
Made her pour something. I don't know what... There was so much to take in. I haven't even broken down that video.
To watch like millions of times. But like seeing them rock out and stuff like that, woo!
Yeah.
They have something for everybody. Like if you're just like you just like chunky shit and you just wanna like in Plague Fires.
Yeah.
I was actually playing that like when I came up with that riff that you recorded, I was playing that shit first.
Oh really?
Yeah. God, oh my, I can't wait. I'm about to take my shower, and I've got my, why do people want to know? Nobody wants to know. We'll probably lose all our subscribers. I've got a speaker set up when I shower, so I cannot wait to take my shower. So
sounds really awesome, but it's half broken. It's not on the floor.
Why is it half broken?
I believe the children, okay, I set it on my bed, and one of the kids came running in and jumped on the bed, and it fell off and broke. So somehow that's my fault that they came in and just jumped on my bed.
All right. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I want to break down the lyrics, though, because...
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was very distracted by what the hell is going to happen to this girl. So, is this the top?
The name of the album is called... There's only 6 songs on this record. The name of this album is called Urn, which is what you put...
Ashes in.
So, if you go by the, if you go by the principle that the title dictates the content, then intravenous means like inside the veins or whatever, like what's in your veins.
Yeah.
So let's go for it. Ghosts of porcelain waste.
See, it's porcelain.
The innocence in faith.
Through translucent eyes, in shifting shades of pale upon pale, writhing across the neverwhere. Good idea. It's very poetic.
Okay, so the innocence in faith through translucent eyes. So the eyes are the window to the soul.
Yep.
So it's the innocence in faith. Like, you know, that could kind of interpret that in a genuine way or in a condescending way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because when you have faith, people think that it could be innocence as in childish innocence or innocence as in, you know, you haven't...
You're not part of the real world.
Yeah, you're not part of the real world. You haven't, like, found the moment of disillusionment yet, so you're still innocent. Like, you still have...
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. It doesn't say innocence of faith. It says the innocence in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried about being too literal with these lyrics because, you know, people always say, those are wrong! You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it could be innocence of faith, so we'll see. Okay, So it looks like the innocence in faith, okay? Through translucent eyes, so it's like, the eyes of the wind of the soul.
Yeah.
So this is somebody you can see like right into their soul.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that's like blocking their soul from like the world.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people like you try to look at them or you're
closed off.
What? Yeah, you're like that though. Like you see into people's souls. Like people have told you that. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't want to look at you because that you could see into their souls.
Yeah.
Because most people try to hide something in their soul.
Yeah.
Right, but like
I stopped looking though.
At the person?
No, I stopped looking. I haven't looked into people's souls for a long time, actually.
Yeah. You're too busy looking into your own soul, judging yourself.
You're probably right.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
But that is interesting though, to be a person with translucent eyes, to be a person that like isn't hiding something because you're innocent in faith.
Well, what is ghosts of porcelain waste?
I'm assuming that's a person. Porcelain, that's an ironic coupling of words, right? Because porcelain is usually fragile and precious.
Yeah.
But he calls it waste.
Yeah.
So it's like...
maybe it's broken.
Well, yeah, it's like... yeah, porcelain is... loses its value when it gets broken.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, so the person was innocent in faith with translucent eyes. They were just open to the world and to everybody. In shifting shades of pale upon pale, writhing across the neverwhere.
Sounds terrible.
The neverwhere is like nothingness.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're not going anywhere direction.
Never were. Like you never as in like it was never really there. And where is never, there's no location either. So yeah. You think it's existence and location?
Well, I think like the concept of the abyss is a very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like, Revelation 20, the beasts and the... where the devil gets thrown into the abyss.
Yep.
And the abyss is sort of like this bottomless pit.
Yeah.
But if you were, like, falling into a bottomless pit, you would be going somewhere, but you would be going nowhere forever.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a way to talk about the abyss. Like the world itself is the abyss. Mm-hmm. Because okay. It looks like, instead of, like, you know... like you're a ghost that's just going around and into nothingness.
Yeah.
But it's an abyss. There's no direction.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like, if you think about it...
yeah, but it's not just going around writhing.
Well, yeah. Because it's like a...
painful. Okay, what were you going to say?
Well, yeah, it could be painful. You know, everybody's walking around with a bunch of pain.
How else would you define writhing?
Sometimes
they
I
always
think
say writhing in pain, so that's yeah. Why it's a pain.
Well, because of the way people move. But like a snake... you know, you could picture a snake writhing, couldn't you?
No, I picture a snake slithering.
Okay.
Writhing? No.
Haunting reflections of the mirrored void. Is this the end of everything we love? The wounds of life weaving the loom. Dwellers in the deep, worlds entombed. What do you got?
Wow, the wounds of life weaving the loom. Well, that's what happens, you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, you can either see pain. Well, if the loom is the loom your life, like that's the story of your life, and then it's kind of dictates what's going to happen next. I mean, if you've ever seen a loom, this level, and there's this level, and there's this level, but all of them create this tapestry.
No, I actually haven't. Okay,
am I misinterpreting what a loom is?
I don't know what a loom
is. Well, I don't know. Is a loom what they use to make a...
I don't know.
String, or is a loom...
But if you say it's like that,
well,
I'll
I thought it was, but now all of a sudden I'm second-guessing myself.
Why? Because I don't know something?
Yeah, because now I'm like, well, how can you not... Maybe a loom is... You remember,
A loom is something you weave, right?
I don't know. A loom might be what you make string on.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
loom.
It.
That's what I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah, and you got it.
Well, I second guessed it when you didn't know what the hell it was. So as you're making the tapestry, the threads before inevitably dictate what the threads after are going to be because you're creating something. So wounds of life weaving the loom, like the wounds of life are dictating what this tapestry is going to look like. But it's all in how you interpret that pain. Because if you interpret that pain in a way that... You remember... I always bring up Jordan Peterson, but he said, like, some people, they just collect this hate around them, and then they look for opportunities to put that out, you know? something. I'm paraphrasing. Like,
well, yeah, you use the pain as an excuse to be corrupt.
To be as corrupt as you actually want to be. And you say, right. Well, it's because I've been through this that I'm like right. that. When all the while you're just looking for opportunity. But then some people say it's because of this situation that I accomplished so much.
Yeah, it is interesting.
It's all how you're going to dictate that pain, because everybody's going to go through something. And the thing is, from a stubbed toe to, you know, like a, I hate to say that, but it's suicide in your family or something like that. Like, if the only thing that you've ever experienced was, you know, your stubbed toe, to a child when they first stub their toe,
it's
the end of the world. They're crying so hard. And then when you grow up, you're like, it's a freaking stubbed toe, you know? So just because somebody hasn't been through the major pain situations that other people have been through, it doesn't mean that they don't experience that pain deep. Because it's whatever degrees, you kind of get desensitized more and more to pain as you go through more and more pain. So the small things seem small. But if you haven't really been through anything, then it seems big. So pain is all about interpretation and how, if we're going to leverage it to get further in life or if we're going to let it, you know, wreck us.
Yeah, of course, we would say that God is weaving the loom.
Yes.
And pain is very often a part of it.
Yeah.
Of the tapestry. And you know, I think we all know this as artists, whatever you are, whatever form of art you create, is like sometimes you have to be dramatic with your art, and then, but like you have to balance out that drama with something.
Some symmetry.
You know, you've got to have the majors and the minors working in a certain, everything can't be just, you know, but like, you've never read a story either that was like all good all the time. Like if Frodo's always on the Shire, you'd be like, this is a terrible book.
You get bored of it.
You get bored. And so like if you're looking at like weaving a loom and you're trying to create this tapestry, the point of a tapestry is the harmony of the colors.
Yep.
And if you had an all red let's say like white is like, you know, like say a white string is like everything is perfect in your life.
Why'd you pick white?
Right? And then let's say red is like pain because it's bloodshed, and then black is terrible because.
How are you saying that?
I'm just saying it's a black day. I'm not black. I'm brown. This shirt is black. I am brown. So,
yeah, I know.
You're not
but
white.
Had I said that,
you're not white. You're just melaninally challenged, as Otep was saying.
Right.
So please, you're red. Arabic, they call you red. Please stop it. Listen, and then you know,
okay, yes.
And green is like peace because you're like in a pasture, you know, and like so, like if you had a tapestry and everything was green, that would suck. Everything is white, that would suck. But if everything was red, that would suck. Everything is black, it would suck. You got to have a combination of the colors, and you got to have some pink in there, which is a combination of pain and you know, and you got to have. You know, so we know this as artists, but like when it comes to our lives, we want everything in the tapestry to be white or green, you know, but like you've got to kind of graduate. The wounds of life weaving the loom, dwellers in the deep, worlds entombed. So the dwellers in the deep part is interesting.
Wait, haunting reflections of the mirrored void.
Yeah.
What is that? Is this the end of everything we love?
The wounds of life weaving the loom.
Yeah, but haunting reflections of the mirrored void. What's the void? Do you think that that's the...
Well, the
is
mirror...
Is that what's inside of the eyes?
Well, yeah, because you're looking into the mirror. So you're looking into the mirror and there's a reflection. Before, you had the innocence and faith. And you had translucent eyes, but then you looked into the mirror.
Oh my gosh, it says in shifting shades of pale upon pale. So... If you're thinking of it like the innocence of faith, the translucent eyes, everything's perfect, the innocence, it's just pale upon pale. It's only pales. But then when you think about the wounds of life weaving the loom, then that's going to make it. It's not just pale upon pale. Now it's
now you have different colors. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Haunting reflections of the mirrored void. That's like interesting. It's like looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing the emptiness in your soul.
Yeah.
Which I remember. Unfortunate
feeling.
I remember doing that. I was in the eighth grade. It was a very distinct moment. I was in the bathroom and I was looking at myself in the mirror. And first I was dealing with this whole like, well, I'm like a person with extension in space type of thing. But then like that was the year that we moved like four different times in three states and two boroughs, like It was a very hectic time, yeah. And I just remember feeling very, very empty and looking in my eyes and being like, because my mom used to always talk about my eyes, how alive I was and blah, 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 and I just remember being like, something's different about me. Aww. Of course, I didn't have the verbiage to talk about that at that time because mm-hmm. I wasn't reading art. I was reading, my mom had bought me this book, The Philosophy and Opinions of Marcus Garvey, so I was like trudging through that, and it was a lot of, you know, Pan-African stuff. So my point is, I didn't have a lot of words to talk about what was happening to me, you know, spiritually at the time. But I just remember looking at myself in the mirror. It was a very fascinating and scary moment.
Bad, I was like, I
you know.
And you have very expressive eyes, like.
Yeah.
Especially you do. Especially the more that I know you and see you in different situations, like there's a lot to be read from your eyes. When you're happy and your eyes like kind of like, they're like, they get bright. Our oldest son is like that too.
Yeah.
And you can tell when he's miserable as hell. It shows right in his eyes.
He's both.
But when he's extremists. Yes, when he's happy and his eyes are like, they're all bright.
I know. Of all the fragile, their desolate veins. See, now this I feel like is an important stanza because the name of the song is Intravenous.
Yes.
So you're gonna get, this is gonna be the crux of the song.
Yeah.
Of all the fragile, their desolate veins. World's entombed. Of all the fragile, their desolate veins, ravenous hearts, euphoric suffering, poison of the well, where the black tongues sing, intravenous quickens. Okay, so initially, and that makes sense, right? Because of fragile, and we were talking about porcelain waste.
Yeah, yep.
Right? So mm-hmm. so there, he's going along with that theme, right?
Yep.
They're desolate veins. That is a good line, desolate veins. That's beautiful.
Because there's
That's
nothing
terrible.
There?
Because the veins are the carriers of blood, which yeah. is a carrier of life. So if your veins are desolate, there's no
there's
blood
no
running
life.
Through it.
There's no, yep.
Right? Because, you know, the scripture says the life is in the blood.
Yep.
But look at that. Ravenous hearts. That's such a... If you have a ravenous heart that's, like, super active, then you should have blood flowing
right.
into
Pushing
those veins.
Right. Euphoric suffering.
Poison of the well where the black tongues sing, intravenous quickens. So it seems to me like, so you, here you are, this fragile person.
Is
you,
poison filling the veins? What? Wait, go ahead.
Well, you're this person and you're broken and you're shattered and all this
yeah.
and you lost faith and all that, but you feel dead inside, but you're still alive. Like, you still have a ton of, like, life and fire and vigor in your heart,
mm-hmm.
but you still feel dead inside. So you have desolate veins, but a ravenous heart. You know, like, it's a very... Mm. Seems to me to be a very poetic way of talking about being a caged lion.
Well, is that the whole, you know, kind of that terrible song we heard the other day? Terrible in the sense of topic, not so much...
Oh, with the self-hatred song.
Self-hatred, and then when you have euphoric suffering, like, is that the same thing? The veins are desolate, the heart is ravenous, but the suffering is euphoric in the sense of you're feeling something.
Right, and then it where the black tongues sing, like, that's probably music, maybe black metal even, because Zen is a big black metal fan. And then that's what gives you life, is listening to... The contradiction of listening to dark music actually enlivens the person.
Hmm.
So you feel dead inside with your desolate veins, but you still have this ravenous heart.
Yeah.
And then the suffering, well, it's interesting, the euphoric suffering, because when an artist is sharing his pain,
mm-hmm.
and then people enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part.
Yep.
So, like, your life is all screwed up, but then when you hear somebody saying, my life is screwed up too, and they put it to music, you experience this
Feel
euphoria.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you come alive, intravenous quickens.
But poison of the well.
Yeah, that makes sense. The terrible shit that, you know, happened in your life, you know, poisons the well. But then that is the place from where the black tongues are singing.
Hmm, yep.
Right?
Ultravenous quickens, a curse of life.
Intravenous quickens.
What did I say?
Ultravenous. Intravenous quickening. So quickening is like to make alive.
Yeah.
A curse of life, bequeathed, gorging, sanguine like cancer. Woo! They pray for blood. Wretched are the gods.
Whoa.
For the stillborn sons
of...
I'm sure. It might be a triple. The stillborn sons of Never There severed the lifeline to end forever. God almighty. That little chunk right there is a ridiculous stanza. God almighty.
School us, man.
Huh?
School us.
So the curse of life bequeathed. Yeah. So it's like the black tongues are singing, the music comes on from the poison, from the suffering, right?
Yeah.
That's the poison, the black tongues are singing, and then boom, you get quickened, you get life. But it's still a curse because, you know, what's giving you life is this person singing about suffering.
Yeah.
Right? And so bequeathed is like basically given to you. And then you're gorging sanguine like cancer.
Wow.
Sanguine. Yeah. Sanguine is like blood. So like you're gorging on blood. And you're like you're feeding on something like a cancer.
Whoa. Wow, okay.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They pray for blood, wretched are the gods. So they pray.
As in feed on.
They're hunting.
Pray as in praying to get it, like.
Yeah, and then at the same
time. Because it says wretched are the gods.
Yeah.
So they're praying to the gods. Are the gods wretched for not giving to them, or what?
Well, no, they're praying in the sense of, you know.
Desiring and going after it, yeah.
Yeah, the predator and the prey, because generally speaking, the gods demand blood. Right? So it says they pray for blood. Wretched are the gods.
Wow.
Like, why are the gods always demanding blood?
Yeah.
You know, for the stillborn sons of Never, they are severed the lifeline to end forever. So it's like, so on the earth you have like human suffering and all the rest of it, and we try to like deal with it by art. But then if you look at it from the divine perspective, it's like, why are the gods like this? Why are they putting us through so much suffering in the first place?
Yeah.
For the stillborn sons of Never. This out because this thing keeps dying on me.
That's okay. So at the beginning, remember it said Neverwhere?
Yeah.
Riding across the Neverwhere. Do you think there's any for the stillborn sons of Never?
Yeah. Because we are the. Basically, you're born dead.
Yeah.
And we're the, you know, again, stillborn sons, S-U-N.
Yeah.
But it could also be S-O, you're interpreting it as S-O-N, and you have to because it says born, stillborn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's like basically the whole universe is born dead, and we're not going anywhere. Like I said, like the whole, my theory is that the whole world is the abyss.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Lanced earth and flesh of enslavement, intravenous, descending liquid shadows, all entwining their distant sights, weaving the loom. Dwellers in the deep drift below. So I think that dwellers in the deep is us. Like we're dwelling in the depths of the lower regions of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? And so like we're the descending. We keep coming down and we're intertwining with one another or whatever. And we're all weaving the loom. But remember, above the loom was pain and suffering and all that. So we're all like doing it together. And we're just drifting. Like one of the themes of the song is just like plain aimlessness.
Yep.
You're just
going around.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that was really striking about the interview with Otep, was that she had such a sense of purpose about the music.
Yes.
You know, and I think that on the one hand, it's like, you know, she could do things that could get her money or whatever, mm-hmm. and write certain songs or avoid certain subject matter.
Yep.
But like, money cannot buy you purpose.
Yep.
And she figured it out.
Yep. Good for her.
And there's some people that figure it out. Like, you got to figure that out. Whatever your purpose is, mm-hmm. You know, so we're Christians, so I'm like, I just think you have a call of God on your life. Mm-hmm. You're a leader. You know, but like,
yep.
It's a very interesting thought process, like how much suffering is connected to purposelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I here?
Yeah. Lots of people say that.
Yeah.
Why?
To seek a cure for the pain, the end of all we love and lust, in tainted flesh,
you know what's interesting?
Of doubt and corruption.
When you think about, you know, people are always like, what am I here for? What am I here for? And like, I think like a lot of people kind of want to like accomplish something good. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's some people that just want to make just a whole line of terror behind them. But I don't think that most people have that in them. I think they want to accomplish something, or sometimes they don't feel like that they're capable of it, or Do they have the gifts to be able, the abilities to be able to do it? You know what I mean? But you remember how that it said in the scripture, like, we're supposed to be a blessing to the nations? We're supposed to bless the nations?
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's very interesting that God would make it so that way you have this desire in you to do something great.
Yeah.
And then in there he says, look, you're supposed to bless the nations or make them happy. You know what I mean? Like, what is it that we can do to... I don't know, I was just thinking how interesting that is, that he puts in people the desire to want to accomplish something, you know, and then the answer's there. Well, this is part of, you know, how you're going to do that is different for each person, but, you know, we're not supposed to make a whole trail of destruction behind us.
Right. No, it's true. The end of all we love and lust and tainted flesh of doubt.
And corruption.
Okay, so I remember at the beginning you had faith.
Yep.
And then now you're coming to the end of everything, your love and your lust, which is interesting. I think Ecclesiastes says something like that. When you die, all your anger, everything you love, everything you lust is gone. Is it too late? Will death be my lover? That's a pretty interesting way to say I'm afraid of dying alone. Mm. Or I'm afraid of dying and never experiencing love. And then that's like a... And into ribs, crib, cradled, caressed, a moment between black talons, blessed, consciousness, a breath, regret, clarity comes forth. Is there salvation?
Wow.
Whoo! Oh. This dude can write his ass off.
Good well, this night. Is Zen that does the writing?
Yeah! Didn't you pay attention in the interview?
I don't retain information like you do.
That was like one of my most like important questions to me was like, damn, like, does he do all this
shit? That is so artistic.
Will death be my lover? That's a crazy thing. Like, if you think about it, if you've lived alone and, like, you've never been with somebody or never experienced love or never had a lover, then basically death would be the only one that would embrace you permanently.
Whoa.
Right? Because, like, that's what a lover does, is it embraces you permanently. And that's interesting because in Song of Solomon it says love is as strong
stronger
as
than
death.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh. I thought it was stronger.
I think love is stronger than it. Jealousy is demanding as the grave.
Yeah.
Like, that's
ain't
really
that
crazy.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it is. Jealousy is very demanding. But yeah, love is as strong as death. Like, the permanence of it.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course... We believe, and that's an interesting concept, because we believe that love is stronger than death because of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, like...
Well, yeah. Because it says he overcame death.
Right. Death isn't permanent in our view of the world, but love is.
He overcame death.
Love is stronger than death. But will death be my lover? Like, if you don't have that view of the world, and then you know, being alone...
Yeah.
Then that's a crazy fear. I think that's probably one of the biggest fears in the world. Never having that person... To love and be loved or whatever, and you know, of course, Jesus never had like a girlfriend or something like that. So, you know, Da Vinci Code aside, but look how he describes life. Life is basically a moment between black talons, blessed. Like you have this like one little blessed sliver of time between two black talons, because you were born dead, and then the black talons are gonna come back and take your soul.
Oh, wow.
Consciousness, a breath. You know, and then regret. Clarity comes forth. Is there salvation? Like, this is the moment of death.
Wow.
You know what's interesting is Zen almost died. He got hit by a car. Can I tell you about this? Like,
no.
He was in the hospital. Yeah. When I was doing my stalker interview research, he got... I don't even know why I didn't bring it up, but yeah, he almost got hit by a car. Well, no, he did get hit by a car. I ended up in the hospital, and it was pretty serious, yeah.
What?
Yeah, man. And so he, you know... I think it probably...
Oh, yeah, inspired some of these questions.
I mean, 2017, so that probably inspired a lot of questions for him, you know. Haunting reflections of the mirrored void. The wounds of life wield the strength to rise. Look at that, though. That's different.
Dwellers in the deep dream of hope. Only hope.
Yeah. He went somewhere different with it.
Huh.
What's going on?
What is there a verse where I can see now? I can't remember what the verse is, but it says that he said, they said, or maybe it was something I read somewhere, where they said, you're my hope, you're my, it's talking about God, obviously.
Our life, our sweetness, our hope.
Oh, that's what it is, babe. Who said that?
That's the Salve Regina, and that's about Mary, not about Jesus.
Well, I'm going to take it from Jesus.
We'll do the Protestant remix. That's Francis, that's Ligori.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, but that's
Ligori,
right.
The glories of
I remember the discussion.
Shout
this
out to
is
Mark
why
Day.
It's not the sorry show. You guys would be so confused.
The wounds of life wield the strength to rise, which is interesting because he had to get up out of that bed. He's a resilient dude, man. Like, the band was started and stopped and started and stopped. Jeez. And it's very hard to make it. And they're in Australia and all this shit. And he just kept going. And I think that, you know, like, everybody has a decision to make about life. Like, you can take a completely nihilistic view of the world and say everything is empty and you're purposeless and you're, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do that. And you can look at, like, the wounds of life as your excuse to lay down. But
exactly.
Here, he's looking at the wounds of life will give you the strength to rise.
Yeah.
Like, it's the, you know, the person might say, well, I shouldn't have been down in the first place. Well, you don't get it.
Right.
That's not the way the story gets played out. Right. You know, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, Josh, shout out to the big homie. And we were talking about the problem of suffering, the problem of evil. And you know, we don't have the time to get into it now. But, you know, I think from a Christian perspective, there is a very cogent way to say that suffering is necessary.
Yeah.
And that suffering is the best of all possible worlds. Like, all the suffering that we go through is the best thing that could have happened to you in any universe at any time. Which is a very, very, very bold...
troubling thing to say.
It's a bold claim.
Yeah.
Because most of us are like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But it's the suffering that creates the necessity of hope in the first place. Mm-hmm. That there's going to be an end to this, or that there's going to be something significant to life. And I think that's probably like the greatest human hope, period. Is there going to be a meaning to my life? Is there going to be a purpose and direction? Like, that's the biggest thing to hope for. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, what a... The writing. His writing is insane. He's such a good writer.
Yep.
And the way that middle with the violin and the solo, the guitar solo...
Forget about it.
I don't know who that guitarist is, but he's... That guy's a gifted dude, like... We always talk about Zen and Tim, we never talk about the guitarist, but that guy, he's a bad man.
The bald guy?
Yeah, the bald guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever you are,
well,
my
you'll
man.
You'll have to let us interview you so we'll know your name.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to talk to you.
Yep. Hmm? Tell him, Zen.
But seriously, God almighty, that's such a good... I don't understand how, you know, when we talk to Tim, I'm going to want to, like, try to figure out, like, how do they combine? I'm assuming it's scales and it's the chords.
Yeah.
And if you know one, you know them all.
Yeah.
But how to do it without making it sound like you all sat down together and say, you know, it'd be cool to have a...
Yes.
You know, not make it sound gimmicky. You know, I remember somebody said, oh, Nilo Vizcaris, they have the cellist or the violinist. And I was like, oh, sure. I'm sure you do, you know, but it doesn't sound...
I would have thought there's no way you can put a violin in metal.
Well, I'm like... But. I was like, it's going to be some pseudo-prog bullshit. Here we go. But man, I'm telling you, like, it would not be them without that sound.
No, for
like,
sure.
They
for
really
sure.
know what they're doing. Oh,
yep.
God, I love this song. I don't know. I think I like this song more than Play Flies Go. Because it's...
So you give it another 10.
It brought me back. I never gave Plague Flies to Kanasco.
What the?
You
heck?
Gave it a 10. I
it
gave
a
it
10?
Like a 9.5 because of the nihilism. But this one ends more positively.
Yeah.
Plus it brought me back to the bathroom. Like when I was a kid in the 8th grade.
That sounded so weird if you...
You're an idiot, dumb bunch. Anytime I try to say something significant.
I know, I'm so sorry. You hear that? Here's another battery. I literally change the stupid batteries almost every week. The friggin' thing is broken, I think.
Here we having this, like, very
significant...
I know,
I'm sorry. But everybody's distracted by that.
I know, I know. I always get those things, like, people like, is it just me, or do you have a thingy? Okay. Yeah. God almighty. What a good song. I love this song. I like it better than Plague Fires of Kaleidoscope.
So it's a 10.
It's a 9.9.
Why?
Because at the end, there was positivity.
Yeah.
I wish it was 3 or 4 more lines of positivity.
Oh.
Because it was like...
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't have the answer. That's why he's saying you're dreaming of hope. Maybe if he knew what the hope was, he'd have something to say.
No, he's got the talent to draw from that stuff.
Maybe he doesn't know what the hope would be.
I don't know. The wounds of life wield the strength to rise. Like, give me another line about that.
Oh, okay.
And then give me another line about hope and talk to me about the tapestry and all that stuff.
Okay.
I would have liked it. Like, I feel like the way that Otep did My Confession, like, there was such a progression and it didn't, like... The positivity seemed a little bit sudden,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, to be fair, this could be a thematic or a concept record, right?
That's true.
And so, part 4, Irony, I think it is, could be,
yeah,
you know, a whole positive song. Who
That's
knows?
True.
But the song within itself, 9.8. I'll push it to a 9.8. What a good song. God almighty.
9.5.
9.5 for you. Okay. I like... What do you like better, this or Kaleidoscope?
Kaleidoscope. Obviously. I gave that a 10.
Yeah, you gave it a 10 and then I talked you out of it.
Okay. I should have never let him talk me out of it. That was a stupid...
Well, I wasn't trying to talk you out of it. Well, I tried to talk you back into it, but
that why did I change my mind?
Well, I interpreted it nihilistically, but when we actually talked to him...
And that's why I took it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm giving it a 10, and this is a 9.5.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
These guys probably have the highest average.
That's right. I was like, 10, motherfucking 10.
That's
and then
right.
I let it, I should have never done that. Forgive all.
Been out.
Sorry out.
Gone.